Just a short note to say that if you're hearing this, you will only hear a segment of the show. In order to hear the full episode, you will need to subscribe on Patreon or Apple Podcasts. Either way, I do hope you enjoy the show. What is the role of intelligence? Are informers better than open source information? And does intelligence still guide the thinking of governments and police services? I'm joined by Dr. Dan Lomas, a lecturer at Brunel University, who is here to discuss this subject. I'm John Mooney, and welcome to The Dark State. Dan, it's a real pleasure to have you on the show. Could you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? When did you first become involved and interested in intelligence?
Thanks for having me, first of all, John. I think, looking back, I first became interested in intelligence as an undergraduate student. I was at my old university, and I'd started to do some initial dissertation research on the history of the UK's intelligence agencies. And really, it's moved on from then. Primarily, I probably fall into the box of a historian by trade. So my research was on intelligence policy interface during the Cold War. And increasingly from then on, I've looked at primarily UK intelligence history, but increasingly because of the students that I teach on intelligence and security related issues, I've started to look more at the theory and practice of how intelligence is done, but also start to move more into the contemporary world of intelligence and security areas.
Mm. So you're dealing with contemporary issues. So you're talking, I assume you're talking about hostile states. You're talking about advances in intelligence gathering activities and the never ending debate about open source intelligence and whether that will eventually take over more traditional forms of intelligence collection. Could I ask you, given the complexity of this whole area and the secrecy that usually surrounds it, can you really just simply describe or answer this question? What is intelligence?
I think intelligence really is a difficult question. And I think you've asked an academic, what is intelligence? You ask other academics out there. Academics have their own differing interpretations over what we mean by intelligence. And it changes usually depending upon country, wider organizational cultures, and wider perspective. So, for example, when we look at some definitions of intelligence, we sometimes mean a secret state-based activity to understand other states, whereas other people would argue that intelligence itself is information that's gone through a process of collection, analysis, and then subsequently being passed on to people who can potentially use it. So some people would view intelligence as more of a secretive thing, and particularly if you look at some of the definitions emanating from the United States, you know, secrecy, state-based of all things that we often focus on and obsess about, whereas other people would argue that intelligence isn't just secret information. It's actually information from a variety of sources. OSINT, open source, is one of the things, one of the buzzwords, some of the terminology that people often obsess about today. So some people would argue that any information that's being collected, that's processed, that's gone through a process of assessment and then passed on to someone else can be intelligence itself. In terms of kind of my own thinking on this, intelligence doesn't necessarily have to be secret, and that you know, we can talk later on about the open source. But I would say that certainly, intelligence goes through a process. Increasingly, it's also something that doesn't necessarily have to be done by states. Previously, if we're looking at the history of intelligence, some people would argue that only legitimate government bureaucracies can do what we call intelligence. Whereas nowadays, we would often say that the private sector, citizen-funded groups, other groups such as Bellingcat can potentially do intelligence. And also even, terrorist groups, they also conduct their own intelligence-related activities to understand enemies, targets, and that kind of stuff. So I think intelligence is open to interpretation, depending upon where you live, your own background, your experience. But I would say at a basic level, intelligence is information that is being collected and goes through a process of distilling it to extract wider meaning before it's passed on to someone or somebody who can use that information to inform themselves about the world we face today.
How relevant is intelligence today?
Well, I think, you know, intelligence has always been relevant, has always been significant. Thinking back to our definitions of intelligence, again, some people would argue that only state-based institutions, formalized intelligence bureaucracies, can acquire what we would brand as pure intelligence. But I think that, you know, today in a 24-hour news media environment, it could be argued that policymakers or those who would traditionally receive intelligence products and understand and use them can get information from a variety of sources, you know, just watching the news. If we were, for example, to think back to August 2021 and the fall of Afghanistan to the Taliban, we could see watching BBC News, watching even going on Twitter and social media, we could get information about the fall of Afghanistan from other sources there. And I think this has led people to actually argue that do we necessarily need significant intelligence bureaucracies, given that we can use social media and other platforms to acquire open source information that we can piece together. And it can be argued that the trend towards open source, particularly after February 2020 and the Russian invasion of Ukraine, when obviously lots of people think they're a OSINT, leads to arguments that the traditional position of intelligence organizations is somehow under threat. And I would argue that in terms of when we look at the history of intelligence, intelligence agencies have always been, you know, competing against other sources of information. For example, if we think back to kind of the Cold War, you have secret intelligence organizations, but they're also acquiring information alongside diplomatic reporting, alongside newspapers, alongside other forms of information gathering that goes into wider government machinery. But really, and this is why I think that secret intelligence remains essential, is that we will always need to have secret intelligence agencies that acquire, they collect the information that is out of bounds to people like you and me, John. Hmm. You know, for example, it's been estimated that in the President's Daily Brief, perhaps the most famous intelligence product in Western intelligence, the President of the United States receives this daily briefing on what they need to know and what they need to understand. Now, it's been estimated, and again, this is a ballpark figure, that something like 90% of the President's daily brief is made up of open source or diplomatic reporting, with the 10% made up by secret stuff. But it could be argued that sometimes on certain targets, on certain problems, it's that 10% that can be vital in our understanding of what is happening on the world stage. And hence, you will always need the traditional spy, or you will always need government-based capability to acquire that nugget of information that you potentially need. And I think that separates out just information generally that we could collect from the intelligence product that's going into decision-making at governmental level.
I hear lots of talk about open source intelligence and how good it is and how important it is, but I always feel it misses the nuances about issues, and you can't beat an informant or an agent or whoever it is embedded in a target or an enemy organization or a hostile state who is secretly passing information. So I'd like to maybe tease some of these issues out with you, because these days you meet lots of people that are, you know, handy with using digital tools online, and they describe themselves as intelligence analysts and that sort of thing. But I'm not sure, quite sure I agree with their assertions about themselves or descriptions about themselves. So I'm really interested in hearing your views on open source in particular. And that is the assessment of intelligence that's already in the public domain. Many people are currently arguing that this will replace traditional forms of intelligence collection. You've touched on this already, but what is your take on that?
So in terms of the OSINT community, when OSINT is being done well, it's outstanding. So I think although Bellingcat don't describe themselves as OSINTers, they are they're more investigators, they would say, journalist investigators. The work that Bellingcat does, for example, is outstanding, and I think offers a benchmark, really, for what the OSINT community should potentially aspire to. However, when OSINT is done badly, it's often done very, very badly, and I think that the Ukraine war is perhaps a good example of that, where post-February 2022, anyone who is on Twitter, Telegram, any other form of social media is able to collect and analyze information in front of them, and often they draw the wrong conclusions. For example, the suspected missile that landed within Polish territory just a few weeks ago. Some initial pictures were put out there. There were some spurious reports on social media, and automatically members of the OSINT community, in inverted commas, kind of suggested that this was an article 5 moment and the NATO intervention, blah, blah, blah. And I think that, you know, one of the problems really is that quality control assurance on the information that's being collected and analyzed, really. When it comes to kind of thinking about traditional government-based capabilities, I think that the government can provide two things, really. I think one, it goes back to that secret dimension that we talked about before. Only particularly UK-based intelligence agencies, only UK intelligence has the capability to collect some of the information that we want to collect, whether that's human intelligence from human sources or whether that's, you know, SIGINT or something like that. So state-based capability remains significant, and that's perhaps the hidden part of the Ukraine war that we're not seeing, that we are seeing allusions to this. So when we're seeing the defense intelligence daily assessments that are being put up on Twitter, or when Sir Jeremy Fleming, GCHQ's director, spoke a few weeks ago about intelligence and the war in Ukraine, there are references there to kind of signals intelligence in a conventional battlefield sense. The other thing I think that organizations like Defense Intelligence or the Joint Intelligence Organization would bring to the table is the pedigree for, you know, long-term accurate intelligence assessment, that ultimately it's government that marries up the open source with the secret sources that are coming in. Add in there the diplomatic reporting that's often coming in, and we perhaps get a more fuller picture than we're seeing sometimes on the battlefields of Ukraine there. I think the danger really of open source is that, you know, because it's a trend, let's say, and that people want to become involved in this trend, that it's open to, you know, misinformation, interpretation of dodgy sources, and we, you know, we can go down a rabbit hole really of misinformation in certain cases, and you can just see that on Twitter. Things, you know, things from serious commentators that appear spurious, you know, sometimes receive thousands of likes, thousands of retweets before it becomes clear that this is misinformation there. The other thing, and it's important, you know, you mentioned before the informer, that there's been a lot of talk recently about traditional intelligence gathering capability being taken over because there's AI or because of the open source that we're seeing there. And I would argue that we will always need the traditional human source, an agent, an informer, deep within an organization, providing us with information about what's going on, because certain intelligence targets remain very, very difficult. You know, how, if, for example, we wanted to penetrate a group that has good operational security, so doesn't use the phone, doesn't use radio, how can you gather information on these using SIGINT or even using kind of open source stuff? The answer probably is using an informant. And if we're thinking, for example, war on terror, post 9/11 wars, when intelligence agencies shifted really from state-based focused into targeting terrorist groups, often who had good operational security, you would potentially need an informant, a spy, to go into the organization and acquire the information you potentially need. The other thing, and it's a topic that I frequently have with my students, when we talk about intelligence collection, we talk about the best ints as such. And the argument, though, the conclusion we quickly draw is that there is no best int out there, that each intelligence collection source has its own significant strengths and weaknesses. So human intelligence, it might be open to dodgy agent reporting, that things can go wrong, you can sometimes get the wrong information, or it remains difficult to penetrate an agent into an organization. But if I want to know what a particular individual has said, and they're working in an organization that's difficult to penetrate, or I want an intelligence source that I can run over a number of years to give me deep information about a particular target, then I would say that the traditional agent perhaps cannot be surpassed for the information that they can potentially give you.
I couldn't agree with you more, because when I think about terrorist groups, I think about even serious criminal organizations, most of them are operationally aware, and they're very intelligence aware, and they're very technologically aware of how they can be compromised. I'm not saying that they're able to beat it, but they're certainly frustrated. But I can't see in any guise how open source intelligence can be used really in a significant way to deter such groups. And it's really interesting that you mentioned Bellingcat, because they've done some fantastic work. But sometimes when I do read their stories, I do come to the conclusion that they missed the nuances. For example, they were very, you know, famously and brilliantly identified two, or I think maybe even three, of the prime suspects involved in the poisoning.